Peter chapter 1. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galilee, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bethel, elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which accordingly to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, preserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, through now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believe ye. He rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, but even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them is sanctified, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves accordingly to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corrupt things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that risen him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obedience, obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfervent love of the brother, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart of fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of
praise the Lord in prayer. Lord, we draw nigh unto thee this morning, that we might have a time of rest in thy house, the rest which thou gavest them that fear thee. It's the holy Sabbath rest, in which thou hast rested from all thy works in creation and in recreation. When thou hast called and cried out, it is finished. And therefore, Lord, that we might rest from our evil works, that thy Spirit might work in us thy works, the grace, the glory of thee. We bring before thee all our needs, all our impossibilities, temporal things and eternal things. Blessed, the heaviest, the first, just for a short time. Because we will endure in the world many tribulations. But in all these things, faith is tried as by fire. And who wants to be in fire? But it's the common way in which thou art proving and testing thy people, that it might be more pure, more sanctified, more trusting in thee alone, denying everything of themselves to look unto thee. O Lord, we pray that we might have that personal experience, that thou mightest come down among us and dwell in our hearts. The youngest to the oldest, we bring before thee the needs of those who are in need, sick or weak, at home, cared for, in a difficult state of mind, or a bodily weakness. Lord, we pray for those who don't know what to do, that they might have the gift, the grace, to throw everything upon thee. Well, thou hast said, cast everything upon me. Every need, every sin. Oh, that we might be cast upon thee, because we cannot do it. Lord, remember our nation, our land. The president be with the people of thee. In this country, extend them in number, that the truth might be preached more and more. Of the justification of the ungodly, of sinners resting upon thee, is the only solace, is the only peace, is the only rest place for time and eternity. And thou is doing what's good in thy own eyes. O Lord, open there and through the scriptures might it be. Help us in dear need, we ask it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. My dear congregation, three through five. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the first place, the source of salvation, the source of salvation. That's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the source. Secondly, the inheritance or the salvation itself. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then the way. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So the source, inheritance, and the way to receive or to be heir of that salvation. Congregation, the letter of Peter has sender and address. It's always in the letters. We know the sender is God. But you see, this letter is written by the Spirit through Peter. He uses Peter, surely Peter, an apostle of Jesus. Like the Father has sent the Lord, he has sent his apostles. Apostles means sent into the world. And you know that he had a ministry of the circumcised of Jesus Christ, the apostle. And to whom? To the strangers, to the sojourners, to those people who are not at home here. Strangers. The original word says they live together, but they don't belong. They're aliens. We say aliens. Aliens. You know why? Their country is heaven. You're not here at all. Strangers. People think they are strangers. And they feel themselves strangers on earth. That's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible says, and Peter says, they are sent. Here one, there one. All over the common world in those days. Scattered. Sown as a seed. Here one, there one. And he writes this letter to all those scattered people all over the world which belong to the Lord Jesus. Scattered. Those strangers, lonely, scattered, not well understood, all over the world. Throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, those congregations are called, probably there were men blessed by God through the ministry of Peter on the day of Pentecost. Because there were all men in those days, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, and they had it, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. So probably, and I think it was converted on the day of Pentecost. Oh, no. Scattered. Here one, there one. Probably fruitful in their environment, but it's a very small congregation. He doesn't say for nothing that it means scattered. It means, seems to be without coherence. And yet, they are all strangers. Looking for a better, an heavenly kingdom, yet on earth. Now he says that those people, and then he goes, I go through those first verses now before we go and sing. They are elect, according to the foreknowledge of the Father. Now foreknowledge means he knew them before, even they were there. In the counsel of God is everything present at the same time. And he knew them. And knowing means in the Bible love, having communion, being loved by or love. He knew them. Foreknowledge. His love from eternity. And he elected them, chose them out of the world to be his own people. Scattered. Huh? No coherence. Here one, there one. Scattered. And yet known by God. Foreknown. Their place, their workplace, the situation. And therefore elected. Trinitarian. Election. Love, God the Father. Through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the application of salvation. Sanctification is originally said here in sanctification by the work of the Spirit. Elected. And then the work of the Spirit. Sanctification. Set them apart out of the world. Inwardly. By the Spirit of faith. Spirit of sanctification of the Spirit into obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I found out again that they said into obedience and many people think sanctification is it, that I am obedient. Are you obedient? Children always obedient? Was Peter obedient? And then they say the obedience of the people of God, they explain, and then they say, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. But if you look carefully to the text, it's unto the obedience of Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What does the Holy Spirit do? He makes me holy. He applies what's in Christ into me. That's sanctification. What's in Christ? Obedience. I'm not obedient, but He is my obedience. That's sanctification. As an ungodly to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's perfect obedience which can stand before God, not mine. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, he was pierced on the Friday in his heart. apart to the glory of God. Election, foreknowledge, work of the Spirit to apply it by a true faith, the spirit of faith, and the object of faith, Christ, his obedience, and the sprinkling of his blood, to the congregation, so the church is perfect in Christ, and they humble themselves. That's the paradox of a Christian. Miserable. And yet in peace. Disobedient. And yet obedient. Sins. And yet forgiven. But not in pain. In Christ. His precious blood. His dear person. For a miserable wretch that wants to do and doesn't do. Romans 7. That has a desire and can't. And what he doesn't want to do, he does. I have to preach only unto you, like Paul, Christ and him crucified. For whom? For a poor, miserable sinner. That he would be praised, though the Father through him. There it starts in 3, blessed therefore. And then we go in the sermon through the 3 texts. First, he gives God the Father the glory. That's the ultimate end. Christ has said, I not seek in my honor my glory, but I seek the honor and the glory of my Father. Came to do his will. Ultimately, congregation, Christ in his human nature, divine, united in one person, is given his Father glory. Therefore, all this church does, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, that's my Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve. Lord is the owner. He paid me by his price, the price of his blood. But not Christ, give God the honor. Through Christ, blessed be the God and Father. And then he says, because God the Father has begotten us again. You know that in John, especially the Gospel of John, born again, born from above. The Apostle Peter speaks, begotten us again. And he says, how God the Father did it? By the resurrection, or unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter speaks a bit different about the same matter. You know what Peter says? I live new or newly. By the resurrection of the death of Jesus Christ. Do you know what happened in the life of Peter when Christ died? He died. It's like that pastor said that there are two dying at the cross. Christ and his people. I died with him, crucified with him, raised with him, through faith, through the operation of faith, says Paul. You can never have any experience of resurrection. Resurrection is resurrection.
around us. Peter speaks about his experience. It's the same experience as the Bible teaches about the Apostle Paul. He says when the commandments came in, sin revived and I died. I got to experience the sentence of death. I died. You know what I believe when Christ died, when Peter saw his precious Savior dying at the cross. Because of him. He died. And it wasn't without a reason that the apostle heard out of the mouth of the women say it to the disciples, and Peter did not believe it. Peter died of all self-help, self-righteousness. By the condemnation of the law and the gospel. But he is born again. To a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus. Say it to Peter that I am risen. He died spiritually and he is risen spiritually. He died to himself to live and to God. So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was the means of his new birth. You understand me? He was like a flower cut off. But by the resurrection, engrafted in a new root. Jesus. Some people say to me, and that's normal saying today, I have no life. This is not a life. But my dear friends, we should die to this life to live into God through Jesus Christ. And what I mean, the Bible teaches clearly that resurrection means risen out of the death. Some people say to me, Pastor, I have no future. All seems to collapse. I'm a sinner and the wrath of God is above me. But Peter said, by the grace of God through Christ Jesus, I'm born again to a living hope. By God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead. Happened when Christ was raised from the dead. The Father threw all the sins of his people behind his back, never to remember them. He took away sentence of death by the death of the Lord Jesus. I am the life. No, I am the resurrection. God convicts you of sin. I have no life. You're feeling yourself a sentence of death. But by the resurrection of Christ, Peter. resurrection, I go up to life. Life out of death. Life undefiled in Christ Jesus. I want to give an example. Dr. Comrie, an English minister, later serving in the Netherlands, had a strange, and probably not a strange, unexpected experience. He prayed, although it didn't come to the sepulcher or the graveyard, but he was called to bury a man. And they brought him to the coffin. But on a certain moment, there happened something to him. In the hospital where he was cared for, they all believed he was converted. He had to go to the graveyard. But before he entered the graveyard, the man knocked at the door of the coffin. Really happened. And they opened it. To say a sad story about it, because he died in his sins, ultimately. He had only a death experience of conversion, but not a true. But that's not what I want to say. I want to say only this, that all the people thought he was dead, and he raised out of death. He had a new future. My dear congregation, we're not going to die. We are dead in trespasses and sins. But by the resurrection of Christ for the people of God, and I have to discern it properly, that's not for everyone. For the elect, to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And I'm not saying you're not, and I don't know who is. God knows. So I can preach the gospel free, because I don't know who we are. And what God knows about it. But one thing I can say to you, that man, and how physically he returned to life, raised out of the death, out of the sentence of death, out of the spiritual death, out of the temporal death, no matter he had to die, no, for the church. Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's the firstborn of many. He did what we couldn't. And he does what we can. It's a turning point in the world history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. God said to him, and therefore to all his people, thy sins are forgiven thee. They have nothing against you. You raised him. You took away my sins. Put them into death. You raised to life eternal. That's a new birth. What's a new birth? Forgiveness of. New creature. His abundant mercy. Why did God do it? Because He is abundant. Full of mercy.
It's the lens. It's the ultimate goodness of God. And it's so abundant. There's no measure of it. Because there's no measure of my sins. Abundant. He has God enough in the fact of the resurrection. Sometimes doors have to be closed. It's all over. They need that experience. It's gone. And then God opens the door. A lively hope. I thought about it, and again and again in the Bible, some people say, I must have that hope. Again, I explained faith. Faith is what God works in your soul. But faith is also the object in whom I believe. He is my faith. Or He is trustworthy. You see? If I had faith, but I couldn't believe Him, what does faith mean? Have faith that the mustard seed. But if I trust in an almighty God, it won't be trusting in man. It's Christ. It's the same with hope. Hope is faith for the promises to be fulfilled in future time. Hope is faith. Hope is faith. But hope is faith in the promises of God to be fulfilled. To be or to become fulfilled. That's hope. Now I can say, I look to, do I have hope? Yeah, but if I don't know where to hope, or what to hope for, what does my hope mean? Nothing. And the more I look into the scriptures, you know, who is the living hope? Or the living hope. Who is the living hope? Me? I'm a living hope? And again, I don't believe so. Do you know what I believe? That's what Paul says. And Peter later. He is my hope. And He is a living hope because He lives. When a woman is preparing for marriage, for a wedding, she looks to her husband. And for temporal things, he is her living hope. John has this. Good business. Nice man. Takes care. My grandfather, my grandmother said something about me, probably wrong, but she said something about me to my wife, gave her a sense of hope. But listen, every bride has hope in the bridegroom. Otherwise they wouldn't go for a wedding. Now the church has bridegroom. Raised from the dead. It's not a dead hope, but a living hope. Because He's raised from the dead. Lives. With all authority in heaven and on earth.
Peter speaks later about it, and he says he is the anchor of the soul. And anchor is hope. If you go to Hope College in Holland, have you ever been? The Reverend. Who came from the Netherlands. He started Hope College. And if you look to the meadow, to the field before that old building, you find a big anchor. Because Peter says, the hope is the anchor of the soul. Now, and then he explains further and he says, the anchor of the soul is not my hope, but it's Christ who entered behind the veil. No. I hope in God. I don't hope in my hope. A lot of people open in their hope. It's poor business. And they are believing in their belief. It's poor business. I hope in God. This is Psalm 27. Hope in God. Why? God is faithful. God is faithful. His people. He has elected them. He gave his soul for them. He raised from the dead. He is a living hope. Born again to a living hope, or a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, there is nothing impossible for him. But do you know, we're always blessed, looking with eyes to the pews and to the empty spots and to the possibilities of the world. But he's a living hope. He's raised from. If there was any power, we couldn't fight. Wasn't it dead? Death? He raised from the dead by God the Father. He lived at home. There are many things to be fulfilled. No. If I had no hope, I couldn't live. If you're only hoping in the Lord Jesus in this world, you're the most miserable man. Hoping God, praise, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, for when he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Hope always is exercised in trial. When does a ship, when does a ship need an anchor? Fair weather? Storm. You need a storm. To exercise hope. Trial of your faith! And who is the strong part? The anchor of the ship. The anchor of the ship. And where is the anchor? The right hand of God the Father. Lively hope. Lively hope. Living hope. Resurrection. To me is given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. The priest of God. To an inheritance, second thought. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that faith is not away. Why does the Paul all use the negatives? Why not positive? Incorruptible.
optimal. Yeah, ultimately it's positive passing habit, undefiled. Why wouldn't he say clean, healthy? But he says undefiled, faint it not away. You know why Paul says it? Because life of grace is this, corruptible. Pass it home. We are strained from earth. And Paul said, death worketh in me all day. My flesh is corrupt. And I am corruptible. Do you know what means corruptible? We are dying. Yeah, but Pastor, you just said that Christ is living, sure. But what's conversion? Dying to self. We're dying to live. It made an impression, I said many times, upon my own soul when I lost my first tooth. The thought is coming, second. You know, I thought it's coming never back and starting to die. I die every day. Past can be present anymore. It's there. And I feel while I'm older that I'm weaker. It's corruptible. My skin is older. My mind is slower. I can have sickness in my bowels. It draws me to die. Nothing is staying here. He said, we are, now I'm looking to my flesh, to my human nature, mind, and body. He said, it's a color flower. Surely by faith it's engrafted in Christ, but this has to die because flesh and blood can't inherit, can be an heir of the kingdom of God, can't. You have a new car. The first moment you drive it, it's an old one already. Till they have a new toy, and you look for a week to it and play with it, but next week it's in the corner of the room. And it's broken. There's one rule in the world, that's the rule of decay, corruption. It's under the rule of death. This world is going to vanish. Me too. Think about it. I'm 58 now, and my father passed away, my father-in-law. Some of my friends. My wife was a nurse. Some of the nurses in the hospital she worked for and with gone. If you're growing older, it's emptying around here. That is you'd be acting on. It's corruptible. I looked at the roof of my house and they fixed it a bit some months ago, but I think it's leaking here and there. No, it's not yet. But it will be. There's one rule in the world, that's corruption. Why? Because of sin. The power.
shall be no death.
You know, news reports are called today, here and now. But I never heard a news report of after death. They walk. It's going that. There is an inheritance incorruptible. The Paul, why does Peter say incorruptible? Because he feels corruption. Even in his own life. Desire to be buried in a stone or concrete. I heard it. He wanted to be buried in a concrete coffin. You know why? Here's the man of the world. But do you know what he said to me? He said, I don't want the worms to eat my flesh, but they will ultimately. Because worms are coming from within. Corruption. Good. So let me help. I will have a tongue which will never be tired of praising God. I will have strength never dying out. I will have a body never to be sick anymore. I will have a soul never into the power of corruption because of flesh. I will never lie and never steal anymore. Pastor, strange man I am. Yes, I am. Last Saturday, some people started to say to me that they were good. They were not lying and stealing. They're all lying now. Yeah, but Pastor, we shouldn't lie. I drove to church and my son car passes by. He says, they are going to a certain church. He said, and you see, they are not legalistic. Yeah, you could drive only 80 and they were 55 and they drove 80. He said, doesn't matter, boy, you drive 55, even if there is no one. We are not legalistic. But we love law. And that you shouldn't be the test. Oh, God! But I tell you this! If you sin, if you don't sin, you do the same thing that doesn't say, Paul. I had really trouble yesterday convincing the people that they were sick. They didn't want to be. Now incorruptible. Arrogance. Your
without corruption, and eyes without spectacles or glasses.
We'll never be weak, and always praise God, never. Always be Secondly, undefiled. Undefiled means unspotted, you know. Zechariah 3. You see, it's Joshua that had a cloth, had a cover, had a coat. It was spotted with things. If you're a Christian, you got a new coat. White. If you know what we do, like little children, we always make them dirty. But then you will have a coat, a robe of Jesus, white, and you will never make it dirty. Do you see them with long white robes? Washed in the blood of Jesus. No spot. No defilement. No things to say. My wife always said, is your shirt good? Great. And if she sees a little spot, I should take it out. She wanted me always to have a nice white shirt. When the checks is with God, they always will have a white robe, and they can't make it defile, and they can't defile it anymore. They can't put spots, dirty spots in it anymore, and defile. You heard the longing of Peter? Not to defile anymore, not to sin anymore. I was blessed in the ministry and I saw a soul weeping about sin. The day that I cannot go on, but they fade away. But they never. A flower will never die. I can't die. But I have to say to you, are you a Christian? Then you know what's in Job. He says, when his body is eaten up out of dust, I will praise my God and all the strength gone. Reverend Venable got a message that he had cancer and incurable. Venable, the Netherlands, old Reformed, stood many times upon his pulpit. He came home. He says, wife, I got a message that I have an incurable cancer. Do you know what he did? His grandchildren were at home. And he started wrestling with them on the green. He didn't go to sit in a corner and said, now I'm going to die. It's all over. You know what he did? He says, come, John, let's have a fight. As Reverend Vanderpool was just a sinner with hope. He says, Mother, my last day is coming, and I've waited for it. And so he passed away. It's a Christian with hope, living hope. You know, many have a dead hope. That's a letter hope here. He said, the Bible says, yeah, you're good. But is it a living hope? Because you know him. But your flat of knowledge. Makes you alive, isn't it? Even in death. In heaven. If it wasn't for the Lord, we would never come there, even as a child of God. We would, first place, there wouldn't be an inheritance. Second place, how would we be heirs of it? Now, Peter says both things are kept by the Lord. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. God keeps the heretics, and he keeps the heirs to receive. Now, how does the Lord do it? By power, by his power is almighty. Do you know what I'm saying now? You can never forsake your inheritance. He's saying, you can never spoil it here. You're kept by the power of God. He was kept by the power of God. By the power of the Savior. He, for his side of the matter, forsook it. But God didn't forsook him. Didn't forsake him. You know what the Lord says? In eternity, I want him to be saved. Do you know what he says? I gave my son. Do you know what he says? And I'll keep it. And I'll keep it. And I'll keep himself. Do you know who we are? We are most dangerous for ourselves. If we would go by ourselves, we would go astray. But you know what Lord said? You can't. I take care of it. Power of God. Some people have gone astray. Have you ever run against the wall? More against the wall. It was flattened by it. Peter ran against the wall. He wept.
mistake you can't lose your salvation. The Bible's clear. Okay. Why not? God is encircling it. If you're a child of God, kept by the power, the dynamis, fight where you want, even after grace, but can't lose it. That's your strength preaching. No, I'm not. I'm preaching here. Lady, one of my first charges, man, I told you once, and I visited him. He pointed only to a text. He wasn't allowed to preach, to talk. At all. I was very angry. He said, I don't believe in election anymore, Pastor, because my wife seemed to have fruits of grace, but then she turned to an enemy. And I experienced that she turned to God again. My child. You know, who's the enemy of grace? The enemy of your own grace. But God gives his people to bring them to the heritage. And by many attacks of the devil, by luring him or bringing him to all kinds of sin and wrong, behavior, danger, evil thinking. Here it is. But kept by their own faithfulness. Go to such a church. I don't believe it. Okay? By their own strength. Strength of a man is strength of an ox. A piece of dust. Kept by the power of God. Yeah. Do you know? What Paul said, blessed be the God and Father, kept even Jesus, the Lord Jesus, raised him from death, kept by the power of God. Sometimes God gives you strength before you, or while you pray after him. God's strength. Kept. He is my shepherd. And do you know, his rod and his staff come from me. By the power of God, through faith, you can have only comfort. By faith. Faith is the means by you receive it, how you receive it. Faith is the gift. And to salvation, ready to be revealed. We are narrow, we are near. Ready to be revealed. Revealed means made open, apocalypsis, taking the cloth away from it, revealed on that. see, hear, as it were. God has prepared the log. Ready. Soon. I hope to be 100 years. I don't. Ready. Ready. You hear the longing? No. Ready. To be free. You know what Peter says? I don't hope so long to sin anymore. Corrupted and they defile everything, my Lord. It's ready to be revealed. Best you can only say this by hope, yes. By the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Ready. Are you ready? How can I be ready, Pastor, this day? Them sinner, weeping and crying, leading the Savior. You should stop from now on bettering yourself, won't work. Defiling, corrupted, even people, not even people. You need only one righteousness, one obedience. One sprinkling of the blood. That's okay. Ready. Ready. No. One step is your own right. You want to be a better person. Die in your sins. The Bible says, let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I have only one obedience, that's thyself. And all other things are, like Paul says, done. Only one forgiveness. It's the precious sprinkling blood of the Lord Jesus. And all those who experienced it know it. Peace. Lord, be with us. No. That we might be with thee once. It's our earnest prayer. And our longing amidst the misery in which we are. The strangers and sojourners traveling through Jerusalem are not.